Empower yourself today with legal knowledge and follow us on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook to get access to jargon-free legal information in plain and simple English. Today's episode is supported by Red Bar Law, the go-to law firm for expert, efficient, and fast legal assistance, all at a fixed cost. Go to our website at redbarlaw.com. Hello, and welcome back to our podcast at Get Legally Speaking. We are proud to be the UK's number one legal consumer podcast. Our legal conversation today will be about the age of consent, drinking, sex, and moving out. I am joined by legal advocate Carla Riozzi. Carla has extensive experience in conducting trials in the magistrates and the Crown Court, and she's specialised in prisoners' rights. Carla now undertakes child protection work on behalf of local authorities. As an award-winning legal professional, Carla is passionate about protecting the rights of young and vulnerable people. Carla, thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh, thank you, Hattie. It's nice to meet you again.
It's always a pleasure to have you. I mean, this is such a close topic to my heart for various reasons. I'm sure I'll splurge it all out during the podcast. But with over 7 million young people in the UK aged between 16 and 21, accounting for a large part of our population, statistics say that the number of young adults in Britain is about to rise sharply. I have always said, and I continue to say, that we are not taught the basics of our laws anywhere, not even in school, unless it's selectively learned. And we should be. There is so much that we as a population, and particularly young, fresh, ambitious and energetic youngsters should know. In this episode, Carla and I will be discussing all you need to know on the age of consent for sex, the legal age for drinking and moving out of home. As always, in plain and simple English. Carla, whilst we generally think and assume that young people know the legal age of consent and the legal age for some of the biggest milestones in a person's life, I was not surprised, actually, to find out that many young children and young adults don't know this information, and what they do know is from hearsay. So let's start by discussing the age of consent in the UK to have consensual sex.
Okay. Yeah, so in the UK, as a general rule of thumb, that the age of consent for a young person to have sex is 16. It is a little bit more in depth than that, insofar as that anyone under the age of 13 could never consent to having sex. And obviously, if it was someone in a position of power that they couldn't have sex with someone that was under the age of 17. But generally, when we're talking about young persons, it's actually illegal to have sex under the age of 16. The difficulty comes with young people, obviously, and this might just make you about to ask me, Hattie, is that young people may be in a consensual relationship and they're both 15 years old, for example. And whilst technically it's illegal, the police aren't going to prosecute if it's consensual sex between them.
Yes, so I think the headline there is it's against the law for someone to have sex with someone under the age of 16. 16 and 17 year olds can have sex, but they're legally children, aren't they? They're still, The law says that people are adults when they turn to the age of 18. And that's where I think It almost feels a bit grey-ish. Yeah. And you touched on somebody in a position of trust or responsibility having sex with someone who's 16 or 17 years old. That gap in terms of any gap between age, the bigger the gap, the more the issue, you know, the bigger the issue can be. But I think it's really odd. And I think it's odd because if you're saying you can decide yourself whether you want to have sex when you're 16 and 17, but actually you're still a child, I feel a bit conflicted with that in my head, to truth be told, Carla. I don't know what how you feel about it.
And I think the difficulty is, Hattie, and it's something we're going to move on to and talk about the age of when you can drink alcohol, that's 18. But the age that you can have sex is 16. So again, there's that disparity. And I don't think we're that naive as well to think that probably 15-year-olds will be in relationships and engaging in sexual activity with each other. And they wouldn't view that as being illegal. And they're probably not going to be prosecuted, is the reality, as long as it's consensual. But again, technically, under the law, it is illegal.
Yeah, well, that's it. And I think, you know, when I look at 14-year-olds and 15-year-olds and 16-year-olds, they all look so much more grown up and so much more adult than I certainly did when I was at that age, you know. And I know it sounds a really old fogey thing to say, but young people are really smart. They're so much more astute than when I was a teenager, for example. You know, technology to the degree that it exists now never existed. There was no phones, there was no social media. And so the information that people have access to and what they're exposed to is huge. And I think the law probably needs to take a look at this area, like some other areas, and take a view of how it may be best improved. But the bottom line for people, young people, is yes, you can have sex consensually from the age of 16, although you are considered an adult at the age of 18. Now, it's a criminal offence to date, sexually engage, either physically or via social media, text, WhatsApp messages or whatever, with someone under the age of 16, even if both parties fully consent. So, I mean, we say it's illegal, and you just touched on the fact that if two 15-year-olds are engaging in sexual activity, the police are unlikely to prosecute. But then if a 20-year-old is engaging with sexual activity with somebody under the age of 16, even if they both consent, and I've had cases in my law firm about this, and I tell you, I was shocked when I had listened to what the police had to say. That is hot, getting yourself in hot water, isn't it, Carla?
Definitely, yes. And I'm the same. I've represented people in that situation. Again, it really comes down to the police force. Again, you look at what age someone believed someone was, whether there was, obviously, whether it was consensual, and also if there's an abuse of power. Obviously, if the person's 30 years old and they're engaging in sexual activity with someone who's 15, it's going to ask questions. If perhaps they're 18 and someone's 15, there's going to be less questions asked, and there might be, sometimes people say they're older than they are, sometimes people appear older than they are, and it's a genuine mistake. But again, you've got to be very careful, because as we know, if you apply the law literally, technically you could be breaking it and in a lot of trouble.
But this is it. It is very interesting, because it's not uncommon for a 15-year-old to be dating, particularly a 15-year-old girl, for example, to be dating a 20-something-year-old guy. Yes. I've seen it. I've seen it a lot. But then if, say, that is the case, and the girl's parents goes and makes a complaint to the police and say, look, I don't want this going on. She's not listening. Yeah. What are you going to do about it? Because he is breaking the law.
And I'm sure you know that happens.
Yes. Yes.
And again, it really comes down to the police force and the CPS. If they really wanted to take it all the way, obviously there'd probably be some mitigation in that scenario, but technically that older person could end up with a conviction.
And I think that is a really important point to bear in mind. If you're the older person and the younger person's carer, parent, relative makes a formal complaint to the police, you could get in trouble for that. Even if the person themselves, the 15-year-old themselves, is saying, I consent, I want this relationship to happen. And I tell you, I don't think a lot of young people know that at all.
No. I don't think they do. And the problem is also, if you ended up with a conviction, you'll be asked to sign a sex offenders register. And I've not represented anyone that's ended up in that situation, but I have read about cases like that. And it just,
that is really sad, isn't it?
It makes my
hair stand on end, because you've got a 15-year-old saying, I consent. You've got the person in there, let's assume 20s, saying, this is a consensual relationship. But because the complaint's been made by a parent or carer of the younger person, the police have taken it forward. And that, to be on a sexual register, honestly, the impact, the negative impact on your life is unbelievable. You can't go into certain careers. You can't go into certain working environments. It is just really not a good gig. at all. No. I mean, I know this is sounding so doom and gloom, the topic at the moment, Colin. I'm trying to think, well, how on earth do we liven this up? Well, look, the fact is there are also elements in the law that says that people need the capacity to consent.
Yes.
They mean, you know, this means they need to be awake and in a state where they can make informed decisions for themselves. If someone is asleep or has had too much to drink or taken drugs to the extent that they can no longer make choices, then they can't consent. So I think that whole term of what is consent, and I know that this has been argued in the courts, I think, to dust the cobwebs off of the courts, because it's a massive point. You must have seen that a lot when someone says, you know, I took their actions as consent.
Yeah, you see it a lot. It could be the way someone dresses. It could be the way someone's acting up until, for example, sexual intercourse. Everything could be going well. Someone might even say they did consent, but then change their mind. And then things go further. And it's really difficult, the issue of consent. Generally, you're talking about matters where there's two people, then it's one person's word against another. I've certainly seen situations, and I'm sure we've all read about it in the media, where people are, generally it's women, they're too intoxicated. There will be situations with men as well. I've seen that they're just too intoxicated to form that consent. And that's similar. That's why the law also says that people under 13, they'll never be able to consent to have sexual intercourse because their mind's too young.
Yes.
And there is that distinction. But again, if you're so intoxicated, you know, how, that's not informed consent, is it? So the other person's got to also judge that the other person can consent. And also there could be, it could be something like a learning difficulty.
Exactly. Are they able to? But this is the thing. I mean, what a tragic situation in court where the only people there at the time the event happened were the two people. One says, yes, actually, I was far too intoxicated to consent. The other says, but I didn't interpret you like that or your actions or what happened. And you know, it's a massive area of law. And I think that, you know, young people, as I said, they're full of life, you know, that they're raring to go in life. And then if something like this happens, where sadly two people end up in court because they genuinely have different interpretations of what happened as a result of consent, it is a sad place. It's a stressful and sad place.
And
that's why it's
Sorry, I was going to say, Hattie, a lot of these matters, they might end up in court and they may not result in convictions because they are difficult to make that decision, but it will still ruin lives. You still have one party that thinks they have been violated and an offence has been committed.
Yes.
And you'll have another party whose name has probably been in the media for a sexual offence. And, you know, these trials, it can take years to go to trial at the moment, and that's hanging over your head. The prospect that you might end up in custody, and it is hard.
It's not pleasant. And I think this is why, if you are over the age of 16, 18, 20, and you're going to engage in a sexual relationship with somebody who is 16, 17 or younger, really think really, really carefully.
Yes.
And again, about, you know, I know partying and having a good time, people can get carried away. We all have got carried away having a good time at some point in our lives. But honestly, it's worth just stopping, pausing for a moment and thinking about things, because what you don't ever want to do is end up in a situation where you have misinterpreted something. And I'm not saying that people don't end up in court because they genuinely didn't consent and someone took, you know, sexual relations further. That absolutely does happen. But just to protect yourself against, am I doing the right thing? Is this consensual? Just to stop for a second and think. Okay, let's lighten it up a bit. So when is the legal age in the UK for a young adult to be able to move out of home and to drink alcohol? I mean, given the era that we live in, I do sound like a dinosaur, I think, in this podcast. I sound like I'm 100 years old. Do you see young adults getting into trouble with the law as a result of engaging in drinking alcohol and other stuff below the age of 18? So what are the ages?
Yeah, so to drink alcohol, you need to be 18 years old in the UK. To move out of home, technically, with the consent of your parent, you could move out at 16. However, the parent is still responsible for your welfare until you're 18. So again, there is a bit of disparity in ages.
Isn't there?
And I think it's not clear. It's not clear to adults, let alone young people.
What?
There's all these different ages.
Well, this is it. I mean, 18 to buy alcohol and to be able to drink it in a public place, although it is legal. So somebody can, over the age of 18, buy a 16-year-old a beer, a wine or a cider if they're eating at a table meal together in a licensed premises. And yeah. This is where I got thrown. And I tell you why, because I have a 15-year-old who asks us to have a cider when we're out having a meal. And when he first asked, I said, don't be so daft. Of course you are. He said, Mum, you can buy me a cider because we're having a meal. And I had to ask the premises, because even though they're licensed premises to sell alcohol, not all licensed premises will allow under 18-year-olds to drink there, even if when they're accompanied by adults.
Yeah.
So it is a bit of an eye-opener, but you're right. It is. I mean, I read and I was astonished that a child from 5 can drink at home. And there was this website that said recommended dosage once a week. And I thought, hold on a minute. So at home is a different matter, right, Carla?
Yes, correct.
It's a different matter. A child aged 5 to 16 can drink alcohol at home or other premises as much as they like, but it's not recommended. How does that work? Because I honestly, that one just got me.
But again, this is the confusion, isn't it? It's just not straightforward. There's not, I think most people would say it'd be sensible whether we went 16 or 18 that you shouldn't drink alcohol and just have that age. And maybe, again, you talk about sex as 16 generally, but there's all these exemptions. Now we're talking about alcohol generally is 18, but there's other exemptions. And it's something we might move on to. But when we was talking about sexual activity, I think we're going to move on to this later, perhaps. But when it comes to sexting and sending things by social media, there's a whole different age that applies to that. So, again, this is why it's not clear to me.
What's the age that applies to that? I thought it was 16.
No, that's 18.
So sexting, which is texting or social media, you have to be
photos.
18.
Yeah,
because I read something very, very interesting, actually, that if you, as a 16 or 17-year-old, even though you can have consensual sex, you're not allowed to be a sex worker because that's called child abuse.
Yes.
Isn't that bizarre?
But it's also if you take a photo of yourself at 16 and send it to your 16-year-old boyfriend, for example, so a nude photo, you're breaking the law even though you both consent to it.
That's massive. That is, and I think that needs to be one of the highlights of this episode.
Yeah,
that if
you're
creating
an indecent image.
Yeah, you cannot send images, explicit images of yourself if you're under the age of 18. And goodness, how many youngsters, and I'm just talking about the stuff I've read, you know, in the press, let alone what actually goes on and never really gets reported. That's where I think our laws need that shake up, because it cannot be right. You can have sex from the age of 16. You can move out from the age of 16. However, until you're 18, your parents have what's called parental responsibility over you. So you won't, for example, if you go to children's services in the local council to get a home or somewhere to live, because you won't be able to go and rent at 16 or 17, you'll be considered a child in need. But then to send a message of yourself to your partner who consents to see it and to receive it, you have to be 18.
Yes. Otherwise, again, you could end up with a sex. I'm not saying it would happen, because, again, why would someone be reporting that if it's consensual? But technically, you're making an indecent image and distributing it. And again, end up with a conviction.
That's mad. I actually thought that the age of consent to send messages, explicit messages, was 16, because naturally you think it ties in with the age of consent for sex.
Why doesn't it?
Right, Carla, we're going to advocate. Or I don't know which way to go, whether to go more towards the 18 or the 16, because the older I'm getting, the younger I think 16 actually is. Okay, yeah. So what does the milestone of 21 years allow young adults to do in our laws?
To be honest, Hattie, 21 in the UK doesn't have much relevance at all. It's everything. You can do everything before 21, pretty much. It's just not a big milestone. I think in the US, it's different because the drinking age there is 21, but obviously ours is 18. So there's not really anything that by 21, it makes a huge difference.
But this is it. That goes back to the fact that I was saying there's so many myths. We all believe that at 21, something really significant happens. I think legally you're an adult, but then you're legally an adult at 18. The only things I can think of is you can drive certain kinds of larger vehicles with the appropriate license. And you're entitled to full national minimum wage at 21. Yes. And I found this really interesting. After the age of 21 and onwards, you can apply to adopt.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
And I thought, wow, that's interesting. I'd like to see a 21-year-old that says, I'm responsible and I want to adopt a child. Perhaps there is somebody out there like that. But, wow, I couldn't. But you're right. We have this kind of mythical thought that at 21 it's a milestone here, but really, apart from I think the bits that we mentioned, there isn't really much more going on.
No. The big things that you think about, sex, alcohol, moving out, they can be done way before 21, as young as 5 years before. So yeah, to me, 21 just doesn't really have any relevance.
I think 21, your parents can start mentally detaching from the thought that you need support and help and everything else. I mean, it is interesting because if you do move out at 16 or 17 and your parents disagree and you go to the council and you seek help from children's services, they can't force you to go back home if there is a contentious situation there that is making you really unhappy. Or, you know, in any way, you know, you feel upset or hurt or anything else at all that you're not happy with. But you will be considered a child in need until you're 18. It's only after 18 that your parents can say, right, I don't need to look after you anymore. You can start looking after me. Well, there you go. Mm-hmm. Who knows? Carla, that's all we've got time for.
Thank you, Hattie. It's been lovely.
Thank you. Do you know, I really wanted this episode to have a real positive spin. But when you look into it and you look at what's actually going on, because our young adults are a lot more advanced, they're a lot older, they're in personality, in looks, in the way they live than I think everybody was when these laws were put into place so many decades ago.
It's a different world. And again, as you say, I didn't grow up with social media. I didn't grow up with mobile phones were just coming about when I was a late teenager. And there was the basic mobiles. They didn't have all these cameras.
The world at your fingertips. You could see anything. You could see anything. People expose themselves. I tell you, one of the most interesting platforms where I think, is that allowed? I find myself saying that all the time is TikTok. Because I see stuff and I think, but is that allowed to be so freely on a platform? And clearly it is. Someone somewhere must know it is. But no, I think it's useful for people to listen to this episode. Not only the youngsters, but also the older generation that have youngsters to kind of really get some of these key points, you know, just as park it somewhere because it's useful to know. So thank you very much for your time, Carla.
Thank you, Hattie.
What I'll say to our listeners is don't forget to click subscribe to our podcasts. We have over 160 to choose from. You can find us on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, and YouTube by searching Get Legally Speaking. Also visit our website at getlegallyspeaking.com. Thank you for listening. Empower yourself today with legal knowledge and follow us on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook to get access to jargon-free legal information in plain and simple English.
Today's episode is supported by Red Bar Law, the go-to law firm for expert, efficient and fast legal assistance, all at a fixed cost. Go to our website at redbarlaw.com.